Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 12. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. I'll read one other verse to you. You need not turn there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you so much for its stand for your word. The words that you gave us, word by word. Lord, thank you that so many people come. And yet, our duty is still before us because there's so many people yet to reach. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so we could go out and reach more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
A perfect song for Thanksgiving weekend. Come and dine. Amen. That's good. I'm going to read to you two verses. We read them earlier. The Bible says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Then in 1 Corinthians 14:8 it says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Here in Revelation 1:10, God's voice is compared to a trumpet. A trumpet has a voice. A trumpet is saying something. When you hear the trumpet blown, it is to say something to us. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, that chapter and the information there is basically about the subject of the unknown tongue. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and it was full of young, carnal, baby Christians. Paul writes here to straighten them out where they had misused the gift of languages or tongues. In verse 8, he actually compares our life to the sound of a trumpet. He says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? He's saying that if the trumpet is blown, but the sound that comes forth is not clear, it confuses those that hear it. See, a trumpet has been historically used as a tool. It's got a high volume, and it can give people direction. Or that trumpet could be used to give people instruction. It sends a signal, if you will. The trumpet was used, for instance, it was used to assemble an army. If you looked in the Bible, you'd see the story of Gideon, and Gideon used a trumpet to assemble his army when he was preparing to fight the Midianites. The trumpet was used by sentries or watchmen who would guard or monitor the safety of the city. There were walls around the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says that there were watchmen that would set up on those walls, and if they seen the enemy coming, they would blow the trumpet as a warning. So the trumpet was used to assemble an army. It said something. The trumpet was used to warn people that the enemy was approaching the city. A trumpet was used at the time of the crowning of the king. In the Old Testament, when Absalom was crowned, they sounded a trumpet. A trumpet was used to introduce what they called the year of Jubilee. A trumpet was used in battle as a warning that an attack was coming upon the army. There was a trumpet sound that was blown in a certain way, and it was blown to start the attack. There was also another sound of the trumpet or the voice of the trumpet used when it was time for the army to retreat. A trumpet has been historically used to introduce or to say that the entry of royalty or royalty was coming. They had a way to blow a trumpet that said royalty is approaching. Well, in also in a wedding, they use the trumpet sound at the time of a wedding. Now, in every case that I described to you, the trumpet made a different sound. It said a different statement or made a different statement. It was signaling to people in a different way. Now, get this. God comes in 1 Corinthians 14:8, and he says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" Now, he was basically saying to the church at Corinth, you're twisting the gift of tongues and making sounds that are just confusing and they're accomplishing nothing. Let's for a moment, though, think on the music or the sound of the trumpet, if we could. Let's concentrate on the trumpeter. Wonder if the trumpeter blows the wrong sound. Let's say that royalty is entering the city. And the trumpeter, instead of blowing the sound that signified bow in the presence of royalty, wonder if the trumpeter blew the uncertain sound, blew the wrong sound, and blew the charge of the enemy sound. Now that trumpeter's in a lot of trouble. He blew the wrong tune. He was supposed to say bow in the presence of royalty, and he blew charge the enemy's coming. He won't be a trumpeter for long. Let's say that the watchman that was up on the wall watching outside the city for intruders, let's say he sees an intruder, and instead of blowing the sound of emergency intruder approaching, let's say he blows the sound of the crowning of a king. So the intruder comes in, and they go crown the intruder as the king, and they just attack the king because they blew the charge toward the king. Now, somebody's in trouble right there. Hey, let's say that it was the time of a wedding. Wonder if the trumpeter, instead of blowing the sound of the marriage ceremony, the trumpeter blew the sound of retreat. Well, that one might not be a good example here. Maybe retreat would be best right there. But what confusion! What confusion if the trumpeter, its voice, said something, but it sent the wrong signal. And anybody that knows anything about the trumpet knows it's been used as a voice. It's been used as a signal. It's used to give instruction. And God here in 1 Corinthians says, if the trumpet gives the wrong instruction, you're going to have a mess. Hey, God's telling us, and he's trying to teach us something. When he says this, he says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" God here is saying to us, the New Testament church, whatever we trumpet, it ought to be clear. Whatever the church's voice says, it ought to be clear. Hey, let's sound the trumpet at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. The King is coming. Let's sound the trumpet. Let's make the trumpeting of the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church clear. Let's not send an uncertain sound. Let's not send a confusing sound to the community around us. Let the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church blow its trumpet in these confusing days so all know where we stand for God. The trumpet is the voice. And you and I are a part of that voice for God. And God said, make sure your trumpeting is certain. Make sure that it is clear. Your life and my life ought to send a signal, and the signal should not be confusing. The signal should be clear. If I could, I'd preach to you tonight a sermon I'd call The Voice of the Trumpet. The Voice of the Trumpet. You know, it's sad that the devil blows a clear, strong sound when he blows on his trumpets. You see, the devil, he picks up his trumpet. You know, the devil, he has a voice too. The devil's trying to make an impact too. You know something? The liberal politicians blow with confidence their socialistic agenda. Hey, they blow loud and they blow hard. And I think they're a bunch of blow-offs is what I think. But they do blow loud. They blow loud. Did you notice the liquor business, they blow their trumpet without reserve. They blow without apology. The liquor business, they pick up their trumpet, they put it to their lips, they pump their doctrine of liquor. Hey, you just watch a football game on Thanksgiving and you're going to see beer commercials. And what are they doing? They're picking up their trumpet. They're not backing off. They're not being shut up. They blow that trumpet. They want to advertise their product. It's clear what they stand for. I say it's sad that the devil blows his trumpet loud and clear. Hey, the pornography crowd, they blow their trumpet with no hesitancy. They blow a tune that is destroying our country's morality. The global warning group, they blow their trumpet with great fervency. They blow a sound to turn around the globe. You know, you take a lot of these little subjects that the liberal left work on, I'll tell you something. There's a small crowd, they just blow loud. They blow loud. They're not afraid to stand for that which they believe. You know, the rock and rollers, they blow their tune unmistakably. They trumpet a sound that appeals to the flesh in a very special way. The devil's trumpet is loud, it's clear, and it's distinct. The devil is not ashamed of being the devil. He is not ashamed of his corruption. He blows. He's not ashamed of immorality. He blows. He's not ashamed of sin and wrong and evil. He blows. He blows loud. He steps up to the podium. He puts his lips to the trumpet. He blows and he says, this is what I am and I'm here to stay. Now it's sad to me that the devil blows a clear, strong sound when he blows his trumpets, but so many Christians will not. Secondly, this thought of the trumpet being a voice and it being a message sender, there is a danger of someone not blowing the trumpet.
Yes, sir.
The danger of an unblown trumpet. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33:6, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Listen, here the Bible said somebody was about to attack and the trumpeter, he didn't even blow the horn. He didn't do his job. Hey, Christian, you need to pick up your trumpet. You need to pick up your trumpet. An unblown trumpet is useless. And here's somebody, they didn't blow their trumpet. Churches need to pick up their trumpet. Why? An unblown trumpet is useless. Missionaries need to pick up their trumpet and blow their trumpet. Why? An unblown trumpet accomplishes nothing. An evangelist needs to pick up their trumpet and blow that trumpet. Why? An unblown trumpet accomplishes nothing. Pastors need to pick up their trumpet and trumpet out. Make a sound. Make something happen. Because an unblown trumpet does no good. Soul winners need to pick up their trumpet. Hey, soul winner, pick up your trumpet. Play the tune, Jesus Saved. Don't be ashamed of the old blood of Jesus Christ, because an unblown trumpet does no good. Let me tell you, everybody in here has a trumpet. You've got a soul winning trumpet available to you, that whether or not you're playing Jesus' tune or not is up to you. Pick up your trumpet. But an unblown trumpet is useless. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you need to pick up your trumpet, because an unblown trumpet will do you no good. We need laymen who will stand strong with pastors across America as they blow their trumpet. You need to be a member of a trumpet blowing church. You know, there are some people, they don't want a trumpet blowing pastor. They don't. I was told when I was a young man, man told me, he said, if you ever build a church of any size, be careful. The liberals will be out to try to take it over. Said, liberals don't have the backbone to build anything because they're not really builders. They just steal something that somebody else built. You look at the good Bible colleges across the country, some of the great churches across the country that have gone bad. Somebody else built them. Some liberal came along and tried to steal it away from them. Some church that used to have the old-time religion that was built by gritty old trumpeters that got up and threw a fit and preached and worked hard and dug it out of like a pioneer. They build a church, then somebody else comes along and they spoil it and they seal it away. Hey, listen, we need to be trumpeters around here. Some don't want a trumpet-blowing school. Martinsburg Christian Academy is going to be a trumpet-blowing school. We have a Bible college that we're already meeting for classes, but on the horizon, the old Baz Baptist College is going to be a trumpet-blowing college. We're going to blow the trumpet aloud. We don't want to just exist. We want to make an impact. We want to make a difference. We're not starting a Bible college just so people can look at us and say, well, that's nice. You have an institution of higher learning. We're building an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-only Bible college that's going to teach young men to go out and tear up the woods for Jesus Christ. We're going to teach them to pick up their trumpet, stand in their pulpit, blow aloud, don't back down, do something for God. But you see, there's a danger of the unblown trumpet. It's funny, the devil blows his trumpet loud and clear. Every Christian has a trumpet that needs to be blown for the cause of Christ, but many will not blow their trumpet. And an unblown trumpet does no good. There's also the danger of an unheard trumpet. An unheard trumpet. You see, in this case, in the case of the unheard trumpet, the trumpeter blows, but it's so softly, nobody can hear. Did you know the trumpet's supposed to be heard? For the trumpet to do any good, it's got to be heard. I mean, look, if you were about to be attacked and the trumpeter picked up his trumpet and he played it into his jacket where nobody could hear it, and the whole army was massacred because the trumpeter was a coward, and the trumpeter would not play loud enough to be heard so the whole army could hear that trumpeter, he's caused terrible, terrible hurt to his cause. See, we don't blow the trumpet so we can say that we did. You blow the trumpet to sound the warning. You blow the trumpet to send a signal near and far. When the army was to charge, the trumpeter was blown loud enough so all the soldiers could hear the signal. You know, there are a lot of churches today that believe right, but nobody knows it. Why? They won't blow the trumpet. And if they do, they don't blow it any louder than what they have to. What would cause someone not to want to blow that trumpet to warn the world that the devil's coming? I'm not saying you should be obnoxious, but you should be heard. As Christians, hey folks, we have rights too. We have rights as well. If we're not careful, we're going to get ran over by that little section that blow their trumpets loud, the liberal left. We're going to be run right over because we won't pick up our trumpets and blow our trumpets, and you've got to blow it loud enough to be heard. See, an unheard trumpet is not much better than an unblown trumpet. Look, if you pick up your trumpet and nobody hears it but you, what good did you do? See, somebody didn't blow their trumpet. Nobody heard it either. So you say, well, I think people ought to pick up their trumpet and blow. I think there's some of you, you need to blow a little louder. You need to take your stand, and I want you to be kind, and I want you to be appropriate, and I want you to be polite. But there comes a moment when you need to pick up the trumpet, blow it loud enough, but everybody can hear it. Somebody needs to know where you stand. Somebody needs to know that you disagree. You see, there's a danger of an unheard trumpet. There's a danger of an unblown trumpet. But thirdly, there's another danger, and it is a scripture that we use in the introduction tonight from 1 Corinthians 14:8. God called it the uncertain trumpet. Said, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The unblown trumpet is the result of the liberals. The unheard trumpet is usually the result of young cowardly preachers or old preachers that are changing and get away from the old time way. But the uncertain trumpet is it's usually blown by fence straddlers. Yeah. The uncertain trumpet. Those that want to straddle the fences, they're kind of half in, half out. The uncertain trumpet is blown by the ones who are working so hard on their tack they never make contact. There's no punch in the preaching. We're working so hard at the way we present ourselves, we forget we're supposed to present the truth. I want everybody to like me, and I'd like for everybody to like me, but if I say something that's in the Bible and you don't like me because of it, it'll have to be, so be it. So be it. I heard a preacher call them Teflon Christians. Nothing sticks. Nothing sticks. The uncertain trumpet is blown by one who wants to be accepted by all the crowds. The uncertain trumpet is blown, and you're not real sure if the trumpeter is for it or against it. You ever heard someone preach when you get done say, I can't figure out, is he for it or is he against it? The uncertain trumpet is your contemporary crowd. The uncertain trumpet, they use some of the same terms the old timers do, but they have redefined them. You know, we talk about soul winning. We're talking about going out and knocking on doors and talking to people we don't even know. It's called confrontational evangelism. They'll talk about soul winning, but it has really nothing to do with confrontational evangelism. They've taken an old-fashioned term, they've diluted it, they've watered it down, and they have redefined it in their circles to make it look like they're still an old-timer, but they're not. The uncertain preacher preaches to please the crowd instead of preaching to please the Lord. good night in the morning, Brother Smith. Can you imagine how many people we would have around here if we just preach to please the people? But they come and go. Why? They can't take the trumpet blowing loud and clear. The uncertain preacher does not want to lose tithers, so he shifts his sermons to maneuver around the attenders to keep them happy. The uncertain trumpeter wants peace so bad, he won't go to war even if it's against the devil. The uncertain trumpeter does not want to look old-fashioned, so he changes his tune. The uncertain trumpeter stands in such a way that you don't know where he stands. You know, I like to hear preaching that when they're done, you know exactly where they stand. I don't like walking away saying, well, yes, but no, but yes, but no, but yes, but no. Hey, if you're in, get in. If you're out, get out. The uncertain trumpeter keeps you confused about what he's blowing. Always changing the tune just enough so you can't figure it out. The uncertain trumpeter has mainly preferences and seemingly no real convictions. The uncertain trumpeter wants to be politically correct rather than biblically correct. And the uncertain trumpeter is everybody's friend and nobody's enemy. They can walk in anywhere. Hey, and I'm not out to make enemies. But I'm going to tell you something. If you believe right, there are going to be some people going to turn their nose up at you. They did to Jesus. They crucified him. They beat the snot out of Paul. You look at what they did to the saints in the Bible. If you stand right, it will not be your disposition. It will be your position that will have you thrown in jail. It will be your position that will have you nailed to a cross. It will be your position that will cause somebody to mock you and to abuse you. Look, if everybody likes you, that's too many. And not because we're out to make everybody mad at us, but if you take the right position, they're going to be tied when somebody's going to say, I don't like that. But you see, there are some that they just pick up their trumpet and they don't play enough of anything for anybody to figure out who they are, what they are, and that for which they stand. It's called the uncertain trumpet. You see, you have the unblown trumpet. They don't blow anything. You have the unheard trumpet. You can't hear it because they don't have the guts or the backbone to stand up and say what needs to be said. You have the uncertain trumpet. You have the unheard trumpet. And then, there's another danger. And it is the ignored trumpet. So I was looking through my Bible. I seen in Amos chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Here's what the Bible's saying. Somebody went to blow the trumpet, and that trumpet was blown to warn everybody, and the people were not afraid. They wouldn't listen to what the trumpet was saying. The trumpet here was played clearly that people chose to ignore it. They chose not to be afraid. Let me recommend something to you tonight. You had better not ignore the trumpet sound of the need of salvation. You're here tonight and you're not a born-again Christian. You better get saved. You say, oh, you say that over and over again. I've been hearing that for a long time. We're going to blow the trumpet loud. We're going to blow the trumpet clear. We're going to say it over and over and over and over again. I'm hoping you'll wake up and get born again. But if you ignore the sound of the trumpet about salvation, you will die and go to hell for all eternity. I want the trumpet to be loud. I want the trumpet to be clear. You've heard in the last few weeks as I've preached on the subject of salvation, well over 100 people being saved in the last couple of weeks, but I made it very clear, you are not saved by your works, you are saved by grace through faith. I made it very clear, the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. I'll never apologize for that doctrine, but if you've never been saved, you better get saved, because there's a real place called hell, and you'll go there if you don't get saved. Don't ignore the trumpet of salvation. In Amos 3:6, they ignored the trumpet. They ignored it. Hey, you better be careful that you do not ignore the trumpet of the command of God to tithe. It will result in a financial curse on your finances. There are people in this room, I don't know who you are right now. I don't know who you are. I don't look at the tithing statements. I don't count offerings. All they do is give me a report after it's been through three sequences of countings with numerous of people. They give me a little report, so this is how much money came in. But I will guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here tonight, there are people in here that would give everybody the impression that they are faithful to God and the tithe, and you're stealing the tithe, and you want to know why your finances are falling apart. You done robbed the wrong bank, baby.
I'm warning you, not because I get something out of it. I'm not a begging preacher. I don't get up here and beg for money all the time. I don't get up here and give you, the sky is falling and the world's falling apart financially. Matter of fact, when it's tough, I usually don't tell you, and we just figure out a way to get the bills paid. But I'm telling you, if you don't tithe, you'll have a curse on you financially, and you'll pay for it for years to come. If you've not been tithing, you ought to get it right, make up for it, and get it over with. But if you don't tithe, that you say, I don't like that trumpet. It's in the Bible. I'm supposed to play this tune. I'm to pick up my trumpet and say to you, you're to tithe of your gross income to the local New Testament church. Better not ignore that. Hey, you better not ignore the sound of the trumpet. These people ignored the sound of the trumpet. You better not ignore the trumpet sound about keeping your family in the right kind of a church. You get your family in the wrong kind of church, it'll result in family chaos. It'll result in family chaos. I'll tell you, hey, when listen to me, and please, I wish you'd listen to this. When you, those of you that have the little ones, and they're just little codgers, knee high, they're a little easier to control, and you're going to find out as they begin to grow up, teenagers get a mind of their own. And every parent alive wants that teenager to do what's right, but there are sometimes teenagers get to experimenting. You remember back when you were a teenager? You have to understand something. If I were you, I wouldn't let your teenager run you. I'm guaranteeing you, there's some teenagers in this church right now, if they could lead mom and dad right out of the church and go to some liberal church, they would lead them right out of the church because teenagers don't like a trumpeter like they have in their pastor. I'll stand up and throw an ever-loving fit about rebellion and the bad kind of music and immorality. They'd rather not be under the gun like that. I'll keep on trumpeting. But you put your family in the wrong kind of church, you'll wish you had a trumpeter. You'll wish you had one. Hey, you better not ignore the trumpet sound of requiring your children to obey. If you do not, it will result in heartache. Children obey parents. Parents don't obey children. It's time for some of you moms and dads to say, we're not going to do that around here. This is our house. You shut it up, mom and dad. You have enough courage to say to your kids, when I tell you to be home, you be home. When I tell you to be quiet, you be quiet. I'm the dad here. I'm the mom here. You better obey the trumpet. You better not ignore the trumpet sound of staying true to your mate in marriage. It'll result in divorce. Stop your flirtatious ways and get yourself right with God. You better not ignore the sound of the trumpet when it comes to giving your children a good Christian education. Or you know what's going to happen. If you're not careful, they're going to be so indoctrinated with the new socialistic education that they're getting. You'll be sorry someday. You better not ignore the trumpet sound of dressing modestly or it's going to end up in causing lust. You better not ignore the trumpet sound that gossip is still sin and a result in the character, the assassination of somebody's character. You better not ignore the trumpet sound to stay away from the liquor. It'll result in poverty, hurt, and destruction. Hey, and the Thanksgiving and Christmas season is not the time to cut loose and go get drunk and start hitting the nightclubs. It is not. It is not. It's a sin. You better not ignore the trumpet sound that rock and roll and country music are sinful, and it'll result in rebellion in your life. You better not ignore the trumpet sound that separation from the wrong crowd is still a smart thing. If you don't separate from the wrong crowd, it will destroy your attitude. Yes, sir. You're no different than anybody in history. All through history, people have been needed to be, they've been told, you've got to stay away from the wrong crowd. You've got to stay away from the wrong crowd. Peter messed up by warming himself by the devil's fire, and you're no better than Peter. You run with the pigs, you're going to wake up smelling like a pig with a curl in your tail. You lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas, and you better stop and realize something. The wrong crowd will destroy you. You see, when you hear the trumpet, and then you ignore the warning, devastation is coming. Now, I apologize to you. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great orator. I realize that I butcher up the English language in a terrible way behind this holy desk. I'll tell you this. Nobody ever wonders what I believe. Nobody ever says, now, what did that guy just trumpet? Nobody walks away saying, now, that was an uncertain sound. I've never been accused of not blowing my trumpet. I've never been accused of not blowing it loud enough. And I'm not afraid to tell the truth. Now, you may not like the way I do it. And I apologize that I'm not suave. And I apologize that I'm not slick. And I apologize that I can't keep all your friends happy. I apologize that everybody you love do not love me. But I will tell you one thing. You don't have an uncertain trumpeter. And our church ought to blow a clear sound. It ought to blow a clear sound. People ought not to sit back and say, well, I wonder what they mean by that. You know what we mean. In a day and an age where there is so much confusion among Christians and in the world, they may not like that for which we stand. But let's just make sure they know exactly that for which we do stand. And I'm not saying you have to be rude. I'm not saying that you have to be uncouth. But you've got to blow loud enough and certain enough that people understand what you are, who you are, and that for which you stand. I trust my enemies more than I trust the slick go-betweens. I like an enemy that's not afraid to say, I'm your enemy. The ones I don't trust are the two-faced, backstabbing, fence-walking. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Because they don't play a certain trumpet. At least the devil gets up and says, I'm filthy, I'm a mongrel, I'm out of hell, I'll destroy you. But when you get those slithering snakes in and out, I'm for you, I'm against you, I'm for you, I'm against you, I'm for you, I'm against you. It depends on what crowd I'm with. That makes me sick at my stomach. The uncertain trumpet. God's voice is called a trumpet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. We ought to let the voice of our church, that trumpet, let it be clear. Let it hold high the old word of God. Let it hold high salvation by grace through faith. Let it hold high the pure doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. Soul winning, the old time way, the bus ministry. Let's make sure the voice of the trumpet is clear for those of us that are a part of this great church.